Senator Mike Jacobson, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How are you?
Really good. It's interesting to see the different face here. So
yeah. We'll, sorry to disappoint.
Oh no. Hopefully Tanner's not. Hopefully Tristan's not listening. So we'll talk you up here.
And, I'm guessing he's probably not.
Yeah, that's probably true.
That's right. Then we can badmouth him.
That's right. Senator, before we get into anything, I do want to mention what a big week last week was, wasn't it?
Oh, amazing. There was a lot going on last week, but I think, as everybody knows, to me, the big thing last week was the fire up in the National Forest. What a tragedy that was. Not only did we see significant damage to the forest itself and the grassland across from the forest, but we also had firefighter Mike Moody lost his life in this process. He did have a heart attack while fighting the fire, and so real tragedy all the way around. And it just reminds you of what our firefighters have gone through this year. I can't ever remember a year when the fire departments and first responders have had all of the workload that they've had this year. These rural fire departments, they're volunteers, and they're called to go to these fires, and they actually have full-time jobs outside this, mm-hmm. and yet they drop what they're doing, they head to a fire. Many of them, you're not only are you driving your personal vehicle at least to the station, some of them actually drive them to the fire itself, and you know what the price of gas was this year, and these guys are eating those costs and taking their time and then putting their lives at risk. And so sometimes we don't always focus on the fact that they are putting their lives at risk, and this is a dangerous profession, and thank God they're there to do it for us. And we saw that play out up in Halsey at the fire up there this last week.
Without a doubt, well, a tragedy. Obviously, a lot of property loss up there as well. Well, I believe the 4-H camp buildings, right?
Yes,
I think every
building in the 4-H camp was
all but one. I was able to go up last Wednesday for a briefing, and I was really careful about I didn't want to go up there during the fire because there really wasn't anything I could do except get in the way, but I really care a lot about what happened up there. I'm a former 4-H'er myself, as both my wife and my kids, and we all attended 4-H camp at that facility, so I was anxious to get up there and find out just exactly what did happen. And I was able to get up there when they had it largely contained. There were still parts of it that still needed to be contained. We had the folks from Colorado who were there managing it out of the Thedford, and they were managing the fire from there. What was really amazing when you look at that fire is it started evidently from a four-wheeler. Someone got off the path, and it caught the forest on fire. And, of course, that day we had strong southerly winds.
Right.
And it spread very, very quickly across that portion of the forest. I got into the 4-H camp area, just missed the nursery, which they'd done a lot of new work on. Missed the nursery, caught the 4-H camp, burnt every building except the one facility where I believe it's the lodging for the people that work there.
Okay.
And it had smoke damage, but it was fully intact. But everything burned around it, and the fire was so hot that if it was combustible, it was gone. There was no remnants at all of any wood, and you had metal that was warped. You had I took some pictures of bed frames in the cabins where the bed frames were even somewhat warped. But it burnt everything that it could burn, and so a real tragedy. The other thing that was interesting is the grass fire to the north. As you know, the Middle Loop River runs just right along the edge of the forest there, south the highway. And that kind of would typically work as a barrier, but the wind was blowing so strong, and of course those trees were tall, embers went up in the air, got caught in the wind, and the grass fire began a half a mile north of...
Jumped
Highway 2, jumped the river, jumped Highway 2. You couldn't see where the fire began from the highway, but a half mile north it caught the grass on fire and then just spread like crazy there. And it did hit a bale pile, and of course that was their biggest thing they had to get out. As you well know, you get a bale fire, a stack on fire, they're hard to put out. And of course, You look at it on a map, and it's like, well, you just drive over there and do that. But no, we're in the Sandhills. So it's easier said than done to get to some of those locations with equipment to put it out.
Right.
But so it was quite an event. I know I went up there with some other officials and who were, of course, locally that were very familiar with the plant, with that facility. And it was hard to keep tears from, I mean, there were a lot of adults with tears in their eyes looking at the damage. And it just, that camp has been there nearly 60 years. Mm-hmm. And you look across the state and the number of 4-H'ers and that have been there, RILA campers, campers of all kinds, wedding receptions, all the things that have occurred there.
Yeah, school proms and
exactly.
Stuff like that.
Yep. Yeah, really a necessary facility up there. In my mind, it's a facility that needs to be rebuilt. It's something I'm really committed to helping make certain that it does get rebuilt. My understanding is they did have insurance, and it will be declared a total loss, of course. But as we all know, when you got older buildings like that and it's a fire, you're never going to come close to replacement value. So it's going to take additional funding, and so I've already made contact with the folks that are in charge, and that it's actually owned by the 4-H Foundation, and so I'm working with them and a group to figure out how we want to try to get that rebuilt, and if the legislature can play a role in that, and I think we may be able to, that's something that's kind of moved to the top of my list of priorities.
That just goes to show also how dry it is. I mean, if a four-wheeler just goes off the beaten path, and
exactly.
That's what starts a fire.
Exactly.
Well, the four-wheeler actually had a problem, and it caught
oh,
on
really?
Fire.
Okay.
So it was, that was more than just a spark coming off of a four-wheeler, but it still, it was the...
Boy, the images, too, of that fire were just unbelievable. I mean, they look like one of those in California, you see. I mean, just it was incredibly tall, how the flames whipped up.
It's
terrifying.
It is. I don't know if you've ever been around a fire like that, but...
I've not, thankfully.
If you're in the middle of one of those like that, it'll run up the trees, get in what they call the crown of the trees, and they just explode. If you're on the ground trying to fight it, it's not a good place to be.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. The other thing that's interesting about that is that we were talking a little bit about the trees. You got some trees that still have pine, that still have some needles on them. Mm. They're not completely burnt. And from what I understand, even if maybe only if 2/3 of the tree's been burnt, but you got 1/3 of it that still has pine needles, there's a 50-50 chance that tree will survive. But there's a lot of them that have absolutely nothing on them.
Sure.
And they were burnt badly. And of course, there's absolutely nothing on the floor there of the forest where those trees are at. It burnt everything on the ground. And so you've just got sand, and that sand is really loose. If you had a 2-inch downpour, you'd see a lot of movement of sand because it's really, really loose underneath there. Nothing to hold it.
Senator Mike Jacobson here with us on Mugs in the Morning, 8:16 here on your Monday morning. Let's switch gears, shall we? You have another topic here to talk about, the Nebraska Property Tax Incentive Act.
Yeah, I've talked about this before, but I feel like they always talk about you have to hear something 3 times before you really get it.
I'm and usually like 10, but yeah, the average I think is 3.
Yeah, I think the average is 3. Yeah, that's right. That's
calculus right. Was a few more.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I wasn't very good at that, so I don't know where that puts me. But
it was about 8 for me.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. I'm still working on the new math, so... but nonetheless, we've talked about this a lot, but I really bring it back up again because last year, 40% of Nebraskans failed to apply for this credit, and that's a tragedy. So you need to think about this. What the legislature had done is we had passed a bill, and this was out there in 2021, where since the legislature does not assess property taxes are all assessed at the local level. Mm-hmm. And roughly 50% of your property taxes, give or take, goes to your public school. Mm-hmm. So the way the legislature helps offset public school costs is they use something called the TEOSA formula, also known as state aid to public schools. Well, the problem with the state aid formula is the state aid formula, which are numerous, I might add, but one of them is the fact that it looks essentially at the needs, which essentially is the number of students. It also factors in those that are handicapped or special needs and so on. But by and large, it's what are your needs, and then also what are your resources. Well, that's where I've got the concern is the resources part. And Governor, Regent Pillen, who is, of course, running for governor, as right. if you've seen his ads, he and I are on exactly the same page here as it relates to TEOSA. And what that is when we look at resources, what they're saying is they're going to look at the property tax base in the district, in the school district, and they're going to compare that to your needs. And then if you don't have a high property tax base, the state makes up the difference.
Okay.
So the question becomes, why don't we have the money following the students rather than it just simply being a needs and resources kind of thing? Because what happens with this is that the bulk of all rural school districts, they have enough land property tax base that they get no TEOSA dollars. And so that's why your property taxes are higher for the school district, because they're not getting that state aid. So that formula absolutely needs to get fixed. Hmm. And I think the direction that, that Regent Pillen would like to take us if he becomes governor is to get that to where the money would follow the student. And but in addition to that, the state has decided, and through the legislature, they passed a bill a year ago that would provide for a rebate. And the rebate in 2020 was about 6% of what you paid in public school taxes. This past year, your 2021 taxes, that jumped to 25.1%. And next year, so it, what you would pay this year, 2021, for property taxes, when you file your 2022 return, that's going to go to 30%. And it'll be 30% of what you paid to your local public school. But next year, it'll also include what you paid to your local community college. So you take the community college tax, you take the local school district tax, which the community, the school district by itself is about 50%, 50 to 60% of what you pay in property taxes. So if you can get a 30% rebate from the state, and that's what this is, it's a direct property tax credit, that's real reduction. And that's how the state, in addition to the TEOSA formula, in addition to limiting unfunded mandates, can help bring our property taxes down. And there is a form, if you didn't file it on your income tax return and you didn't get that, you can go out and get a form from the Nebraska Department of Revenue. It's called Form P as in Paul, T as in Tom, C as in Cat, X. So PTCX 2021.
Okay.
That's the form you're looking for, or you can get on the website for revenue.nebraska.gov. Or you can call the 800 number, 800-742-7474, and ask for this form. Complete the form, send it in, and they will send you a rebate check equal to 25.1% of what you paid towards your school district property taxes in 2020. In 2021. So that's what the rebate would be. Apply for that. It's real money. It's real reduction. Again, the legislature has no control over what the local taxing authorities do in terms of assessing property taxes, but this is one way that the legislature's come back and said, we're going to provide property tax relief through this rebate.
Senator Mike Jacobson here with us this morning. And this is something they can apply for right now?
Still? Absolutely.
Okay.
Get on the website. If you didn't apply for this when you filed your income tax return, you can still go back and apply for it now.
To be honest, I don't recall if I did. So
go check and go look at your tax return. If you didn't show it on there, get this form, complete it. There's a couple of steps you have to go through. You have to identify the parcel numbers, and there's a lookup as to what that number is.
Sure.
But it's a one-page form. Complete the form, send it in, watch your mailbox.
Can't hurt. Nobody likes not receiving a check in the mail. So
that's right. And by the way, whether you paid income taxes or not, this is an income tax credit. So even if you didn't pay any income taxes, even if you didn't have to file for income taxes, fill this form out, send it in, and you'll get a check. So this is getting money back to everyone. This is not for just high-income taxpayers. This is everyone.
Okay. Senator Mike Jacobson here with us this morning on his Monday morning recap. Anything else you need to touch on this morning?
Not really. Like I say, I hopefully we don't go through another week like last week. I would just close by saying that As I indicated early on, firefighter, assistant fire chief Mike Moody did lose his life in that fire, a real tragedy. Julie and I were able to go up there last Friday to the funeral. Really moved by that funeral. I got to tell you, it was up in Dunning at their gymnasiums, and it was amazing. The gymnasium was standing room only. There's a deal on the wall that I think said the capacity was 790 people, and I assume that would be in the bleachers. The bleachers were full. Everything was full on the floor, and there were people standing. Really moved by the tribute and the service. He was really quite a guy, very well respected. Everybody loved this guy. And again, firefighters and first responders and law enforcement from around the region. I saw people from Valentine, people from Tryon, all across the region that were there. On the floor, probably a third of the seats on the floor were filled by these individuals who came up to show their respects to a fellow firefighter. And so I was really moved by it. And there's also, and I would just also say this, the family had asked for memorials to be sent either to the Purdom or the Thedford fire departments. I would really encourage people to think long and hard about sending a check up there, showing not only your respect for Mike Moody, but also for all firefighters. Help these departments out. Send a memorial check. It's not too late. It's really the right thing to do.
Thanks so much, Mike. Appreciate your time, and see you again next Monday, all right?
Thank you.